My name's John Holliday. I'm a mycologist. I live and work in Maui, Hawaii. I've been growing mushrooms now for about 28 years, I guess. It's a subject that's always fascinated me, and the deeper I got into it, the more I realized that it was a very unknown field. And I've been working for some time in Hawaii, also working closely with the government of China. They've been very supportive of my efforts and have opened their research libraries to me and opened their culture banks to me, which means that I have quite a bit of information available to me that is not generally known in the West, since there hasn't been a lot of scientific exchange between the Western countries and China. I don't know why they took a liking to me, but it's really convenient because I have whole university departments that are willing to run experiments for me. It's not fringe science or charlatanism by any means. It's definitely cutting-edge stuff. The immune system is quite an interesting bit of our being. The body, human body, is a very miraculous self-repairing mechanism. And we live in a world of microorganisms, a complete sea of microorganisms. In the air in an average room, there is about 800,000 organisms per cubic foot, as many as a million organisms per cubic foot. And we take these in with every breath that we take, every sip of water, every bite of food. We consume huge quantities of bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, spores of all different varieties. And the immune system is the main barrier between our physical being and that sea of microorganisms. The main components of the immune system act as passive barriers, such as the skin, the lining of the intestines. These are like the walls of a castle to keep out invaders. Some of those invaders will get past the barriers, the passive part of the immune system, and then the active part of the immune system comes into play, which is composed of a number of different types of very specific blood cells, which have names such as T cells, NK cells, B cells, macrophages. If the passive barriers are the walls of the castle, so to speak, then these blood cells, these T cells and NK cells, are the soldiers that are actively going out and killing these invaders. Now, those invaders can be organisms from outside of the body. They can also be cells from within the body, aberrant cells or mutated cells, or cells even that have just lived out their active lifespan. And when those cells become too old to function correctly, then those are identified as being old cells and destroyed. So the immune system is quite a complex system, and it is like many facets on a diamond. So we'll look at just a couple of those specific facets. Is we'll take as an example, say, T cells and NK cells. NK stands for natural killer cells. Now, there are identifier T cells which travel through the bloodstream. These cells go through the body looking for invaders or looking for mutant cells. And when they find an invader, they leave a chemical marker on that invader and move on searching for more. They have no destructive potential. Then along comes the natural killer cells, or the NK cells. And they have no identification function whatsoever. All they do is they look for cells that have been previously marked by the T cells. And when they find one, they destroy that potential invader, that threat to the system. So in that way, the T cells and the NK cells are part of the immune system. They have to function together. And a shortage of one type or the other type, of course, going to result in some drastic issues. Now, there are many other aspects of the immune system as well. Just like soldiers can't be everywhere to fight every invader, There are chemicals which act as the bullets, so to speak, such as these marker chemicals. And many different types of cells in the bloodstream are involved in this immune function. Basically, as I say, fighting off outside invaders and fighting off the effects of time, age. The question often comes up, why would we need any sort of support for such a system that works so well? And there are a couple of reasons for that. Basically, the immune system is such a finely balanced, delicate mechanism that it is easily thrown out of balance. For instance, we all recognize the fact that when we move from a cold or from a warm climate, say, to a cold climate, or at that time of year when the seasons change, we tend to come down with more colds and flus like that. And the reason for that is not because there's more viruses present. It's because that balance is offset in the immune system. And depending on the state of health of the immune system, it takes a shorter or longer amount of time for that immune system to bounce back to its previous level. You know, once you get past that first few weeks of a climate change, then you don't really have a higher incidence of colds and flu. There are some other things which radically affect the immune system. Age, of course, is the first one that comes to mind. As the human body ages, I think as everything ages, things start to break down. The processes become less efficient. You have more of a tendency to become ill at 45 or 50 than you did at 25 or 30. Some of the other things that can affect the immune system is we're actually exposed to a myriad of different chemicals on a daily basis. Chemical additives in the food, pesticides, chemicals in the workplace, even toxic chemicals in the air we breathe, especially if you're living around a big city. Some of the people that live in more severe cities like Mexico City, Los Angeles, Shanghai, New York, are assaulted with large quantities of chemicals on a daily basis, which have a direct negative effect on the immune system. They actually kill T cells and they kill NK cells. So the body has to respond by producing more of these immune compounds. And there's another effect that's been studied for the last few years that has to do with emotional state and immunity. People that are going through emotional distress have significantly lowered immune function. And this can result in more incidence of illness. Also, it results in slower healing. They found that when they give an experimental wound to a test subject, they take a bunch of people and they stick them with a big fat needle, and then they measure the amount of time it takes to scab over and to heal. And at the same time, they're doing psychological testing on these people. They find that when people are depressed, or when they're lacking sleep, or they're going through a hard emotional time, that it can take as much as 10 times longer than it does for that same person to heal from that same wound at a different time of the year when everything is going well for them. So, to support the immune system is probably the single most important, in my opinion, the single most important system in the body to support, because lack of immune function results in the breakdown of everything else. The biodirected immunity formula is a combination of 14 different mushrooms which have been carefully chosen for their particular effects in the immune system. People often ask me, wouldn't it be possible just to include mushrooms in my diet and get this effect? And that's a complicated answer. Basically, I say, good idea, add mushrooms to your diet. But it's significant to note that different mushrooms have different effects in the immune system. For instance, a couple of mushrooms that most people are familiar with is the small white button mushroom, which you find in your local grocery store, and also the brown shiitake mushrooms, which you can usually buy in the grocery store or you see it in Oriental markets. Well, it's been pretty well proven that the shiitake mushroom is about 100 times more stimulatory to the immune system than is the white button mushroom. So, it's a good idea to add mushrooms to the diet. Add shiitakes by all means. The specific reason for the different strains of mushrooms that we included in the immunity formula is because of all of these different aspects of the immune system, these different facets on the diamond. Each mushroom has a very specific profile of compounds present that are very similar from mushroom to mushroom, but slightly different. They are structurally different at the molecular level, and therefore they have slightly different effects in the body. I mentioned earlier T cells and NK cells, two different parts of the same system with different function. Well, we find that one mushroom, called maitake, has very strong stimulatory effect on the production of T cells. When you put maitake into the body, within 48 hours, you see a very significant increase in the number of T cells. 2,000%, 3,000% increase. Very significant. You take another mushroom, Agaricus blasii, which has a similar compound, but not the same. When you put it in the body, interesting, you have no increase in T cells, negligible, but you have an incredible increase, 5,000 or 6,000% increase in NK cells. So when that question arises as to why don't we just add mushrooms into our diet, it's a good idea. And the larger the number of different edible mushrooms that you can add into your diet, then the larger this path is that you're painting through the immune system. You're going to be stimulating more aspects of the immune system. Most people don't have access to a large number of different edible mushrooms. That's why we chose 14 different ones that are well proven, tried in clinical trials, and well known around the world for their effects. And we combine those together for people that don't have that option of going out into the market and buying a large number of different mushrooms and including them on a daily basis. There are other immune-stimulating herbs. For instance, echinacea is a very well-known immune stimulant. And the main difference between a product such as echinacea and a product such as mushrooms has to do with the specific compounds involved. Echinacea, for example, it affects one specific receptor in the immune system, like a key fitting a lock. Once that key is in the lock, taking more echinacea doesn't do any good. It just simply passes through unchanged. And echinacea does stimulate that one aspect of the immune system. But as I said, it's quite a complex system with many different parts that have to work in conjunction with each other. The mushrooms, on the other hand, have a range of compounds. Without getting into the chemistry, it's basically the cell wall material of plants is made of cellulose, and there's one pathway that the plant gets to make that cell wall. On the other hand, the cell walls in mushrooms are quite different compound. It's made of chitin. And chitin itself, as a chemical, seems to be unused in the human body. But there's a very specific pathway that the mushroom gets to with a series of precursors leading to the production of that cell wall. And it's these precursors along the way that stimulate different aspects of the immune system. So a mushroom doesn't have a single compound that does the job, such as echinacea does. It has a whole series of closely related compounds, maybe the same molecule with an extra carbon and another carbon and another carbon, and each one of these different closely related compounds has a slightly different stimulatory effect in the immune system. Alpha and beta glucans are long-chain complex organic molecules that are the precursors leading up to the production of chitin for the cell wall. This is very complex compounds. These are complex compounds, which are just now really being understood by science. Of course, for centuries, people have noted the effects. People are very good observers, of nature, and when things work, they become well known in the folklore. And it's the beta-glucans primarily that act as stimulants in the immune system, which is quite interesting because the human body does not produce any alpha or beta glucans, or at least none have been found so far to science. These are all required to be taken in from the outside. And the immune cells have receptors which accept these beta glucan molecules onto the cell, which somehow activates that cell. Perhaps it's the trigger that tells it what type of a cell to mature into, whether it needs to become a T cell or an NK cell. And beta glucans primarily, and alpha glucans to a lesser extent, are the active ingredients. The biodirected immunity formula has the 14 different mushrooms which we chose from among a cast of thousands. Several of the mushrooms that we have there are very rare. Rare is that's a good word. There are species of mushrooms, and then there are strains of mushrooms, just like fruit and vegetables. For instance, there's cherry tomatoes and beefsteak tomatoes. They're the same species, but very different strains. And it's even more profound of a difference in the mushroom world. For instance, a mushroom like a shiitake, say, that comes from an area where it grows on oak trees will have certain properties and certain compounds present. And that same shiitake mushroom that grows in a different area where it grows on pine trees or fir trees will be considerably different. To the untrained eye, it's going to look like another shiitake. But the pine tree shiitake will not grow on oak trees, and the oak tree shiitake will not grow on pine trees, and they have quite different biochemistry. So what we have done is we have spent quite some time developing different strains and developing different methods to grow them, different substrates to grow them on, to maximize the production of these target compounds that we're looking for. In the past, mushroom production has been primarily aimed at making good marketable mushrooms, which means consistent size, consistent shape, easy to harvest, perfect looks, so on, so on, and so on. And when you're developing a strain for that purpose, there are certain parameters you look at, such as consistency of the size of the mushroom. Well, consistency of size isn't really too big of a concern if we're looking at using those as an immune supplement. So the 14 different strains that we're using in the immunity formula are chosen from areas all around the world. One of them comes from the desert of Nigeria. Another one comes from the southern highlands of Brazil. Another one is only found in the very highest levels of the Himalayas in Tibet and Nepal, above about 14 or 15,000 feet. And so on. Each one of those mushrooms is specific to a certain area, and each one of them is grown in a very specific, controlled way, in a completely controlled environment, so that we have taken all of the variation out of the process that we can. We grow only organic. We have made a decision and a commitment to produce only organically produced mushrooms. As a matter of fact, we have state and federal certification to the very highest levels of organic standards that there are. And while other growers may choose to take the high production, chemical fertilizer and pesticide approach, as a mycologist, my feeling is that this is not a good way to go about trying to produce a product which is beneficial for the immune system. I mean, we already know that pesticides and chemical fertilizers are one of the problems in today's society affecting the human immune system. It would be counterproductive, in my thinking, to produce an immune product any way other than organically. So we're very strict about nothing but organic. We grow them on organic substrate only. We use no chemicals. We use no chemicals in the facility just to avoid any possibility of cross-contamination. In the bio-directed immunity, there's no byproducts whatsoever. It's straight mushroom products. There's no fillers, no binders, no flowing agents. They're not irradiated, just straight good stuff. There have been literally thousands of studies conducted and are being conducted right now today concerning mushroom products and the immune system. As a matter of fact, every major pharmaceutical company in the world has large programs going on right now to try and develop commercial products for the immune system from medicinal mushrooms. Since the mushrooms and the compounds found in mushrooms are naturally occurring products, it is difficult to impossible for a pharmaceutical company to take their one little compound and patent it and make their fortune on it as they hope to do. So in the United States and in a few other Western countries, the medicinal mushrooms are not as well known as some other areas of the world. Even though there have been thousands of studies done to date, they're just fairly new in the market in the West. But there have been thousands of studies done. One of the things that we've put a tremendous amount of research into is adjusting the growth parameters to produce optimum levels of targeted compounds. For instance, there's a compound produced in Cordyceps sinensis, which is found at very high elevations in the Himalayas, and it's a particularly interesting deoxygenated form of common nucleoside found in DNA. And I started thinking about this, thinking, why would an organism produce a deoxygenated form? It's obvious, there's no oxygen up there. So we started looking at the molecular physics behind this, and we found that for that organism, that was the most efficient way for it to conserve that little bit of oxygen that was available, was by deoxygenating some compound. Well, the side effect is that deoxygenated compound is tremendously effective in the human body as an immune response modulator. So we're growing it by reducing the oxygen content. We have reproduced the environment that is found at the top of the Himalayas. We grow it, in that case, we grow it under low temperature, low oxygen, on very specifically chosen nutrient base. There's not actually a lot of nutrient in the soil at the top of the Himalayas. So we're growing it on what others might consider a fairly deficient substrate, but we are producing greater quantities of these target compounds than are found in the wild nature. When this is compared with the way other people are growing mushrooms in the world, which is generally aimed at high production rather than high content, I think that we're really producing medicinal mushroom compounds that are significantly more effective than any others that I'm aware of that are being produced by other labs. The Neekin biodirected immunity is the most potent immune stimulant that's available in the market today because of that combination of the 14 different mushrooms and the specific substrates that we're growing them on and the specific growth parameters that we're using to produce them and the particular formulation in the amounts that have been mixed together in that formula. Every year, organic growing gets better, more refined. Every year, our knowledge base grows in how to formulate different compounds for a certain effect in the body. And the Neekin biodirected immunity is the cutting edge. It is the best on the market because no one else has taken the time that we've put into these substrate developments, these culture parameter developments, as well as obtaining some of these extremely rare cultures. When we talk about rare cultures, somebody actually went to the top of the Himalayas to get that culture. Somebody went into the jungle in Brazil to get that culture. So there are years of work that have come together at this point to produce this Neekin biodirected immunity to make it the best product for immune stimulation on the market today. There are other good products on the market for immune stimulation, but we're really orders of magnitude more effective in what we're trying to accomplish, which is the stimulation of the immune system. No one else has anywhere near this number of mushrooms, and no one else has these particular rare strains that we're using for the Neekin Biodirected Immunity.